call to order the House Committee on Education for the 23rd of March, 2015. It must be spring break because we have a full house, and so we're glad that all of you are here. What we're going to do today is Kid Day, as we're referring it to, and so we're going to be hearing from, we always hear from the big people, we're going to hear from the littler people on what they think education should be, but we're going to, that's what we're going to start out with. But for those of you that are here on other bills, we are going to carry over House Bill 2655. We are going to, and then we'll have a work session at the end of the day, or at the end of the hour. We're going to finish here by 2:30 on 2713, 2715, and 2939. And there's going to be no work session on House Bill 2150 today. So that's what we want you to know. Okay, well, how we're going to proceed today is I think we're going to start out with Brookings Harbor. And so we actually, this idea kind of came around. We had a gentleman, the superintendent of Brookings Harbor, and he showed me this video of kids going, this is what we'd like to see in school. And so we're going to start with that, and then we're just going to have you come up in groups of three. And how we proceed is you come up, and when you speak, you say who you are and where you go to school for the record, and then give your little presentation, and we'll go from there. And then before you leave, we make sure we have a little something from Tia, our committee administrator. So I'll bring you up a group of three, and I'm going to try to get you guys together, but what I'll do is I'll say who's coming up, and then I'll say who's on deck. How's that, so you know? So first of all, any comments from the committee at all? Nope. Okay, so we're going to start out, first of all, with Brookings Harbor students from Brookings Harbor High School.
Brookings Harbor High School.
Flexible school days with evening and weekend options.
a junior ROTC program.
Alternative PE classes like archery, yoga, and self-defense.
Tablets for students to lease during career.
Classes in home economics, horticulture, and nutrition.
0-period credit recovery classes.
More AP classes.
Business classes like personal finance literacy.
More elective classes like culinary, sign language, and construction.
Tutoring programs using students and adults.
Online courses during evenings or weekends.
PE credit for participation in school sports.
Trade classes like electrician, welding, and agriculture.
Summer school classes.
More electives for the arts.
Elective credit for work experience.
Okay. So that's the input from Brookings Harbor High School as to what the kids would like to see. And we do have that on record, and all of this will be on OLIS. Okay, what we're going to do, I think the first person I'm going to call up, just because she doesn't fit in with the others, is Savannah here? Lilberger? Okay, so Savannah, why don't you come up and testify first, and we're going to have her all by herself. Savannah is an alumni of Hillsborough High School, but she is now an engineering student at Oregon State University and on crutches.
Sorry, I broke my foot last week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a good idea.
Here, we'll help you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. It's nice seeing you again.
Thank you. All right. Can you hear me? Okay. So thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Savannah Lilberger. I am a former Hillsborough High School alumni, and I'm currently studying computer science down in Oregon State. So go Beavs. So I'm currently a sophomore, so it wasn't too long ago that I was a high schooler. And I had a lot of experiences that really contributed and set me up to where I am today. Some of those are the Focus Program of Study that's connected with CTE that was at my high school, Hillsborough High School. I had opportunities to take a bunch of classes that progressed over my 4 years, and I also got to meet with mentors in industry that came to the class, and that was super helpful, especially when we did out-of-school competitions as well. So if you have this partnership of in the class and out of the class, it really helps build a community and an environment for a student to really learn and obtain information. On top of that, I got so inspired from the opportunities and the mentors that I had that I started my own summer camp program. It's called Girls Get It, Innovative Technology. And I wanted it to be about students teaching other students. So it's an entirely high school girl-led program where over a week we have girls teach other girls about inspiring topics about STEM in a hands-on and pressure-free environment. We would not have been able to do this without support from the Hillsborough School District and industry such as Intel. And basically, we're now in our fifth year, and all the teachers who have taught at the school, the girls, they are now in college studying engineering, or they're already in industry where they are running their own 3D printer program, or they're studying civil engineering. And it's really great to see that because of this 1 week and this encouragement that they had, they're now out pursuing that as a technical career, and they're also inspiring other people. Down in Oregon State, you can see that it's really hard being one of the only students who had this background, because I sit next to other kids in my classes and they didn't have a support system going through high school, and they basically went because their parent was like, oh, that looks cool, and they're like, okay, I'll try it. Going into university without a support system and without the classes and the out of school extracurriculum, it's really hard. And basically having supplemental instruction outside of school helps support students to continue on after this. And I really want other students to have a really great experience that I did in school. And I think this is really possible with seed funding. It's basically, if you help programs start, there will be people that are there that want to volunteer and they want to continue it. And that's kind of my story. Such as eChamp, they had mentors there for me. I had people who believed in me, and now I have hundreds of girls around Oregon who are believing in me because they went through my program. And it's really inspiring, and if there's any way that I can help.
Oh, thank you very much. And I would like to one thing Savannah did not say is she started this program, this summer camp for girls in technology and STEM, when she was a sophomore in high school.
Wow.
So that's something I think we're very proud of.
Thank you.
But anyway, I think what we're going to do is, just because of time, we want to make sure that everyone has time. So we're not going to, if we ask questions, maybe it's like one or two. If you have any questions. Anyway, Savannah, thank you for hobbling here from Corvallis or from Hillsborough, because we're all very proud of what you did. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a great program. Okay, how about Austin Springer, Anna Breen, and Emily Mattson? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
You look scared.
Huh?
I look scared, yeah.
Okay. Whoever wants to start first, and just when you start, just tell us who you are and what high school you go to.
Madam Chair, I'm a member of the committee. My name is Emily Mattson. Thank you for taking the time to hear our thoughts. And I'm a junior at South Albany High School. And I think my school in particular, I think building relationships is something that I really value in, like, public school, and the ability to communicate with other people, and especially teachers, like, in working with them one-on-one. But one thing that I would love to see, like, in my school personally, like, more advanced placement classes for freshmen coming in, because they don't get much options, especially if you don't get the foundation in, like, elementary school and middle school to excel later in, like, high school and later in life.
Thank you. How about you go next?
Okay. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for taking time to hear my thoughts. My name is Anna Breen, and I am a sophomore at West Albany High School. I have been attending public school since seventh grade, but I started out homeschooling, and I think the reason that I personally am successful in school is because early on in my education, I got a lot of one-on-one time, and I got a lot of time to be told to excel and to be taught early on that I should value education and that I should try my best. And I'd like to see that for students to have almost higher standards, to be expected to excel the best that they can. And I think more advanced classes and more opportunities for younger students to excel would be a good thing to see.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Austin Springer. I'm a senior at Lebanon High School. Growing up, I went to a K through 8 middle school in elementary school, so I spent most of my years with the same teacher throughout the year. And something I really learned out of that was a huge sense of community, and I got a lot of one-on-one time with my teachers due to our such small classes, and it really prepared me for high school. But going into high school, I found that one of the hardest things to get around, or not get around, hardest things was the testing, because what our high schools do is they just test us to death, and it's not hard to get around that, actually. There's a system that you have that you learn throughout your high school years. It's, for most of the teachers, it's tests way more than other schoolwork. So all you have to do really is study for the test, get good grades on the test, and you pass the class, no problem. So it's more of a memorizing thing than anything. So the learning, the amount you learn is slim to none. So I think just part of the, one of the biggest things that needs improvement is how we test our students and not make it so much about testing and more about other schoolwork and how they actually learn.
Okay, great. Do you have any questions of these kids? Yeah, Representative Springer.
You knew.
I'm sorry, Austin, I tried. But
2 points. Number one, I didn't coach them on their messages. And number two, Emily, I think last week or the week before was Albany Chamber of Commerce Youth of the Year Award.
Oh, nice.
For her high school. And I have to be fair, these two gals are not constituents of mine, but I've known them for a really, really long time.
Very good. Congratulations. Okay, any other questions? Again, thank you guys very much for telling us. In fact, we're even writing it down, and it is now on public record as to what schools need. Thank you very much. Okay, next we will hear from, why don't we hear from the kids from Southwest Charter School, William Britton, Becca Gurney, and Adi Solomon, and someone else. Oh, that's Addie's mom. Welcome. We're glad to see you here.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak in behalf of my school. My name is William Britton, and I am currently an eighth grader at Southwest Charter. So as you know, many schools over the past decade, if not longer, have been asking for equitable funding. I'm not here to break that chain. While I believe that every public school is in need of more financial support, I want to push this concept. Charter schools get 42% less funding than a non-charter Oregon public school. Some individuals believe that charter schools are not necessary, but why? As a state-sponsored charter school, not only do we allow students from within our district, but we also allow students from anywhere within the state of Oregon. Through my school, I have recently had the privilege to represent Oregon in Washington, D.C. for Constitution Day. Throughout my 6 years of schooling at Southwest Charter, I visited Seattle to see locations from our then-recent novel of study, spend time in our local habitats through the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, and prove the dangers of secondhand smoke through Project Citizen, a nationwide classroom law project event. Unfortunately, the lack of equitable funding requires private fundraising to allow our school to provide the necessary educators for our students to flourish. We have a very strong and passionate group of parents at Southwest Charter who every year host a charity auction to bring in proceeds. Almost all of that money has gone to fund two part-time faculty positions, a fieldwork coordinator and a counselor. I was fortunate enough to visit Washington, D.C. because of the hard work and dedication of our then eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Sarah Anderson, who is currently our fieldwork coordinator. She put a lot of extra time and effort in order to let me present in front of the staffers of our elected officials of Oregon in Washington, D.C. Without people like Mrs. Anderson recognizing students as names, not numbers, and as faces, not grades, I would not be able to learn with as many hands-on experiences outside of the classroom. As my classmates would vouch for, the teachers care about you and want to see you succeed. I would urge you to support more equitable funding for children in public charter schools. I would like to thank you once again for this opportunity to speak in front of you.
Okay, thank you, William. Who's next? And you may want to just push the microphone a little closer to you. Actually, that's perfect right there.
Okay. Chairwoman Doherty and fellow committee members, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Becca Gurney, and I am a 7th grade student at Southwest Charter School in Portland. I want to talk to you today about teachers. Teachers at my school are caring people who want to know more about you as a person. They take it upon themselves to help you when you are having problems in school or at home. If you need to talk to someone about something, they are ready to help you through your issue. I feel that all schools should have teachers like mine. Smaller class sizes would help the teachers greatly. Not only would they have less work to grade, but they would have better relationships with the students, which is key to having happy teachers and students. The best teachers are teachers who will go out of their way to help you personally and keep classes fun and interesting. At most schools, teachers can't know their students. When they see a kid, they see how he acts or what her grades are. When class sizes are large, they can't see all the cool, interesting kids that we are. Recently, a friend of mine, one of my fellow students, was having some serious family issues at home, which were causing her to lose focus on schoolwork. She was very sad, and she was hesitant to talk about her family struggles with her good friends. During one of my classes, I was sitting with her, and she was obviously upset. My teacher came over and asked her what was wrong, and my friend confided in my teacher. I was so impressed by what my friend said to our teacher later. I am so glad that you are my teacher. I felt so touched by the whole experience. My teacher cared so much for this one student who was sad and hurt. She could have let it pass and move on, but instead she took it upon herself to listen to my friend like a mother listens to her child. I love my teachers, and I love that they care about each and every student. I personally feel that they should be paid more. At our public charter school, we cannot pay our teachers as much as they would make at a neighborhood public school because we receive less than 58% of the public school funding. However, all teachers are teaching tomorrow's citizens, and they deserve our full support. When I grow up, I want to be a teacher, but I want to be a teacher that knows and cares for my students. I would want to work at a school like Southwest Charter School, a school where teachers know their students as a friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chairman Doherty, members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adia Solomon, and I'm a 6th grader at Southwest Charter School, a public school where you can have fun and learn in a fun environment. The mission of the school is to teach kids in the way we learn best. They help us explore the natural world that's called place-based learning, and we learn to be good citizens in the community. Class size is also small. The biggest class is around 22 to 24 kids. This gives kids a chance to learn more efficiently than they would in a regular public school where class sizes are 30 to 40. Thus making the noise level louder, which in turn makes it harder to concentrate and the teacher's job much more difficult. I hope in the future other schools can have smaller classes and also give kids more chances to do field work. For instance, did you know that Oregon got one of the worst report cards in the country in teaching civil rights in the schools? Recently, at Southwest Charter, we had a place-based civil rights unit. We started out with recent history such as the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Then we studied the Selma March, the murder of Emmett Till, and the Montgomery bus boycott. We then studied Portland civil rights history, such as the Vanport flood, the making of the Memorial Coliseum, and all the families this displaced, and the Golden West Hotel, where the Ku Klux Klan recruited people. We went on a scavenger hunt around Portland, exploring the places we learned, and had a local artist help us make a comic book about Portland civil rights history. The Oregon Historical Society invited my class to host a party to celebrate the comic book's release. This comic book is now available free at Pell's. Besides learning about our world outside the classroom and being good citizens, Southwest Charter School teaches us how to communicate and care for each other as a community. Every Monday and Wednesday, the kids in my class have a class meeting. This is when you write down any problem you have in the class agenda. When it is your turn to speak, you tell if you want a shout-out or solutions. A shout-out is a notification, like asking people to put away their things to make a tidier class. If you want solutions, it might be about difficulty with a classmate. If that's the case, you pass a talking stick around the circle. The talking stick means that it is your turn to talk and everyone else has to listen. People give their solutions, then the person with the problem chooses two of the solutions and we go on. This makes us part of a community that cares about each other and teaches us to care in the world. Southwest Charter is the best school I have ever attended, and it has the best system for teaching young people to be good citizens in a rapidly evolving world. I wish all kids could have this experience. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions of this panel, these gentlemen? How about Representative Hack, then Representative Frederick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question in regards to your civil rights class.
Yes.
What was your favorite part of your class?
Making the comic book or just studying?
That you learned. What was the what was your most favorite thing that you learned with taking that class?
I don't think I really had a favorite thing. A thing that what really impacted me most was the Selma March. Because
excellent.
I mean, I feel like it represents how how a group of people can solve the biggest problems.
Excellent. Well, you're all very well spoken. Thank you for coming and sharing.
Thank you. Representative Frederick.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about that class as well, but I wanted to know the name of the comic book.
Oh,
very good.
It's Southwest Charter's Hunt for History, I think.
Hunt for History.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a zine, like 60-page book.
Yep. Yeah, we can get that information from the Historical Society.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank Anything you. Else? Any other questions? Okay, thank you guys very much for coming down here. I appreciate it. And William, say hi to your dad for me. Okay, the next panel we have some high school kids. How about Bryn Merkley from David Douglas and Kyra Conway from David Douglas? And 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Just have the two folks from David Douglas. Thank you.
Hi, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Bryn Merkley, and I'm a senior at David Douglas High School.
And I'm Kira Conway. I'm also a senior at David Douglas High School.
Great.
So one thing that we think we need to change about education in Oregon is our ability to compete with other states. Mm-hmm. So Oregon is ranked about 40th in the nation, and that's a problem because we need to be able to have the same education so we can get in the same schools and ultimately have better jobs.
In Washington, they have a program called...
And if you want to tell us what your name again.
Kira Conway. I'm from David Douglas High School. One program that Washington, a state in the north, has that Oregon doesn't really implement is Running Start. And Running Start is a program where students in high school starting their junior year can begin receiving their associate's degree while in high school. And there's half-time and full-time participation in Running Start. And full-time students actually attend college during this, like, 2 to 3 times in the school week. Being at David Douglas, we are one of the largest high schools in the state. And so having that program and also AP programs would truly benefit us because at David Douglas, since we are the largest, we have about a 40-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio in classrooms. And having a Running Start program would not only help the students, but also help the school by decreasing those numbers, being able to have those students outside of the classroom and going to these Running Start programs.
Another thing that we can do to raise our competitiveness with other states is to raise expectations. Something schools have been doing is lowering the standards to increase graduation rates, but I don't believe like lowering the standards is going to increase graduation rates. I think kids will rise to the expectation. If the expectation is to get D's to graduate, then kids will get D's. If the expectation is C's, kids will get C's. Kids will rise to the expectation. Both of us used to live in other states, And when I was in that other state, I moved there from Portland, and I was years behind. And so I had to spend the whole summer before sixth grade studying. I studied every day just to get on the same level. And then after a year there, I moved back to Oregon, and I was a year ahead. So I ended up skipping a grade because I had already taken math classes that kids older than me were taking. And I was so, it was such a weird experience because I was so far behind and then I was so far ahead. And I think that the expectations were just higher. When I was in that other state, kids were expected to take higher math classes and there wasn't an option to take lower. And so I think that raising the expectations will raise our competitiveness. And I don't think that necessarily needs funding. I think it just needs a culture change.
Like Bryn, I also moved to another state when I was younger in elementary school. I moved to California in fourth grade in second and third grade I went to California, and then I moved back here in fourth grade. Coming back in elementary school, I noticed a huge change in my mathematic level, my reading level, and my writing skill level. Students in fourth grade were still working on their multiplication tables. They were still wondering what 5 times 7 is, while I was sitting in the corner trying to work on fractions and higher level things that the teacher would give me because I was the only student in the class that was advanced for that. And in fifth grade, still being further advanced than the kids here in Oregon, I was the first child in the teacher's history of 30 years of teaching that had completed all 5 levels of her math tests. And there was an addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and then a fraction unit. And all students were struggling to even complete the first 2 while I sat there waiting, what's next? And so I find that if we were able to advance these levels and to advance the expectations, like Bryn said, these students would be pushing themselves even further to be like that, to reach all 5 levels of that math test.
So kids are capable of a lot, and I think kids are capable of a lot more than adults think they are. And I think that instead of lowering standards, we need to raise them, and we need to increase the difficulty of curriculum and increase the standards for graduating. And I think ultimately that'll make us a more competitive state, and we won't be number 40 anymore, and that we can raise that. And I don't think that we need more funding for that. I think that we just need to change our culture and to change our beliefs on what we think kids are capable of. And I think what we could use funding for is to get Running Start going. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only thing that we need money. I think the main thing is change the culture of our state. Mm-hmm. So that's all we have.
Anything else, ladies? So it sounds like if the expectations are raised, many of you will rise to those expectations.
Because human nature isn't to work harder than we have to. You know, if kids can graduate with a D, then why not work to get a D? Mm-hmm. I mean, but if kids need higher than that, then they'll rise to get higher than that. Okay, because everyone's capable of getting a C to graduate.
Oh, yes.
I don't think we need to lower that to a D.
So. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Do you have a question, Representative Reardon?
No, just a statement. I didn't.
Who taught at David Douglas High School?
Go Scott.
Who's the best principal in the state of Oregon? Never mind. I withdraw the question.
It was too long a pause there.
Way too long a pause.
Chair Doherty.
No. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So both of you girls you went to other states and then came back and then were actually more advanced than your other fellow students. So what do you think held back the students here, you know, from going to the next level?
I think the expectations were just higher. When I went to, I was in Maryland, and kids in sixth grade were expected to take pre-algebra. And then when I came back, kids in eighth grade were expected to take pre-algebra. So it was just the way it worked, and I think it starts in elementary school. I think it starts from the very beginning and what we're teaching everyone. But I think to get to that level, we need to start advancing earlier on.
So you just, the expectations weren't as high here as what they were in other.
Mm-hmm. No one took below pre-algebra in sixth grade. But then when I came back here, people in eighth grade were. So.
And I believe a way to start that would probably to implement those opportunities to have pre-algebra in sixth grade or to have those advanced classes in elementary school. So students take those opportunities and then it becomes a school-wide or statewide program.
Follow up? Mm-hmm. So were both of you girls in advanced classes then in the other states? Okay, and were the class sizes approximately the same as what they are here?
Mine was.
In elementary school, I honestly couldn't tell you how many students in California, I couldn't tell you how many students were in my class. I'm assuming a lot smaller than today's class sizes.
Thank you.
I don't think it's necessarily about the class sizes as much as just rising to the occasion.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. And just as
thank
we
you.
Said, I said to William, say hi to your mom and dad for me. Thank you very much. Okay, the next folks we have, how about Milo Stanich and Shirley Arazia from Roosevelt High School and Glencoe High School. And then we'll hear from, after that, Riley Jane Hack and Michelle Fetters, after these guys are done. Welcome. Shirley, you want to start out?
I'm Milo Stanich. I'm a student at Roosevelt High School. I'm honored to speak in front of you guys. One of my main problems I've really had throughout high school with like the education system is I see like that we're taught history, math, and all this other stuff, but I see a lack of funding when it comes to real world knowledge, such as financial aid, being able to do taxes, even write a check. Throughout my 4 years of high school so far, I have not been taught any of this stuff that you need for common life goals and common life being successful. What I have been taught is how to get into college, which I am doing. I'm going to ASU, but I haven't been taught any of the stuff I'm going to need in the real world to hold a job, to be able to save money and all that stuff. So that's pretty much all I have to say.
Right. We used to do that, but not anymore. Shirley.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, first and foremost, I would like to say thank you for giving me and many of the students an opportunity to come and speak before you today. I think it's very important to open up this dialogue between students and our legislators and really people who work within education to try to kind of bridge that gap with communication and really address all of our needs.
Okay, because you don't have to be so close to the microphone, and then make sure you say your name for the record.
All right. My name is Shirley Araiza. I am a senior at Glencoe High School, and I am from Hillsboro, Oregon. Actually, Representative McLean used to be my speech and debate teacher, which is pretty cool to see her in action here. So a couple things beforehand, I had a conversation with my dad. I'm a pretty busy student, I like to say. So between work, extracurricular activities, homework, school, and watching too many episodes of House of Cards, I had a conversation with him, and he was telling me about how at the age of 12 he had dropped out of school in Mexico to help his family work, and how when he came to the United States, the type of work and labor he had to do, and he currently still does. And it really put it into perspective of how much I appreciate my education and how much I am willing to work towards a better future for myself and eventually whatever so happens to happen for me later on. And as I've worked, as I've had that in mind, and as I've gotten to work a lot more with my administrators and teachers, I've really realized that we need to relook at our approach that we, when it comes to thinking about our education. For the most part, within education and the learning process, a very big issue that I see, and I know that that was mentioned previously by another one of the students, is our emphasis on testing. I personally am not a huge test taker, and I know a lot of people aren't, and I think that it hinders our ability to be able to learn and think critically and be able to attack different scenarios through different ways of thinking if we just focus on testing. The issue with testing that I have is just that it's so much to, again, to that teaching to the test and really thinking that there's only one solution to a problem when in reality, especially in the real world and actually what a lot of jobs and corporations are really looking for, are looking for students, well, eventually workers, who can attack situations in different perspectives and be able to work with different scenarios and work with different sort of situations to be able to find an end solution. It's that ability to think critically and to ask questions and overall to be creative. One of the biggest things I wish we could emphasize a lot more within our education is the creativity that all of our students have. I think that we need to emphasize that curiosity. I can assure you that every single student in our schools is curious about something. We have to make sure that we can tap into that to make sure that they are successful in no matter what they do. We also need to make sure that we're taking a rounded approach at our education. While I know that math and language arts and science are very, very crucial components to our education, we should also know that they shouldn't all be the only things that we are being taught. We should be learning about the humanities, about the arts, and being able to find creative solutions, again, to be able to adapt all those different ways of thinking within those different fields and have that really open mindset for students when they get out of college. Along with that, I also have a lot of issues within the social expectations that we have. I know that Savannah Loberger, Hillsborough High School alumni, and her sister, I actually know her very well. They're very wonderful representations of what we can do when we encourage our young women and our minority students to go into these fields of STEM, or I like to call it STEAM to include the arts, because every single student, I believe, is capable, no matter if they are lower income or if they're families never went to college, or if they are young women who simply just want to know more about science. We need to change our societal perspective of thinking that only a certain group of people should be going into these fields. Definitely think that we need to encourage more of our students to go into that, and I know that a lot of school districts are taking that approach, but I definitely think that we could do better at approaching that and encouraging everyone to do so. And finally, the economic and political expectations of education. I think that we need to open up, and again, you guys are doing this, which is just absolutely fantastic, of that dialogue between administrators, teachers, students, all the people who have a stake in this, which is, to be honest with you, everyone, because we are the future, and if you guys want to have a really nice retirement, you guys got to make sure you're educated.
Absolutely. Thank you.
New innovations, nice. New medicine. We are that future, and we need to make sure that we're opening up that dialogue with also community and business leaders. I know that at the Hillsborough School District, that's something that they're putting a lot of emphasis on, and I know that we're taking the right steps towards that, but I definitely think that we could be a little bit faster. I'm a pretty competitive person, so I want to see Oregon at the top. I want to see people looking at Oregon and being like, yeah, we want to be like that state, because I definitely think we have the capability of doing that. I know that the young woman from David Douglas mentioned of raising the standards for students. I think that every single student is capable of doing that. The talent within our schools is immense. We need to tap into that, and I believe that we are taking a right approach forward, but I definitely think that the way we're looking at our education now definitely needs to change, and that change needs to begin today. So thank you so much for your time, and if you guys have any questions,
thank you very much. Representative Frederick.
Chair Daugherty, a couple of things. First of all, I apologize. We have not given you what you need in terms of education, and so when you're choosing my nursing home, remember that I
yes.
have the apology.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
And I also want to know what sort of time frame has Representative McClain given you, because you're obviously going to be taking her place when she decides to retire.
A few more years.
Yeah, I need to expand and grow within different fields to really, and also because I'm not really sure what I'm gonna do.
And my point is proved by that answer there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, some of us are still wondering what we're gonna do when we grow up. Anyway, okay. Any other questions of this panelist? Okay, I think you can see why many of us sitting here that are former teachers why we stayed in that profession. Me not. So as long as some of these others, but it's fun. We love it. So anyway, thank you folks
thank you so
very much.
Thank
you, Milo.
Okay, I have three more folks down here, and then we can either open it up. We've got time if we've got others. But Rachel Fetters from Barlow High, Colleen Anthony from Benson, and Darian Dietz from Baker Prairie Middle School. So whoever wants to start. Darian, why don't you take the lead. Okay. How's that?
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and members of the House Education Committee. My name is Darian Crawford Dietz. I'm a 7th grade student at Baker Prairie Middle School in Canby. I might be a little nervous, but I am excited to have the opportunity to address the committee. Last year, I presented testimony to the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. I provided a comparison of classes and school activities my mother and uncle experienced with my own school experiences. Mom and Uncle Doug enjoyed band, PE, Spanish, French, German, living skills, technology, and art classes, as well as after-school sports and drama programs. The reason I mentioned all of these is they no longer exist. At the conclusion of my testimony, Representative Frederick asked me to return next year to provide a one-year update. Well, here I am. The good news is, as a 7th grade student, my classmates and I are enjoying the first full school year since we started school. Also, I am in first-year band playing the trumpet. The challenging news at my middle school, however, is students are limited to a choice of only one elective, art or band. The great variety of programs I mentioned earlier have not yet returned to Canby schools. Current students do not have the same experience our parents had attending the same schools. By the way, my band class has 120 students, and our art classes have 40 to 50 students each period. Canby schools have had a strong reputation for many years. Our community has been proud of our schools and the success of our students, but I can tell you we are currently concerned with the future of our schools. We have learned that the current education budget being considered by the legislature will result in the loss of at least 8 teachers in Canby. If we lose more teachers, we lose more programs and class sizes increase. My classmates are frustrated. Please know I'm not here to complain. We all know times are tough. My classmates and I appreciate the hard work of this committee and all members of the Oregon Legislature. I do hope that by sharing a little bit of my experience with you today, that we can be reminded that our schools are not the same as they were for our parents. Please consider any increase in funding for schools that might be possible. With your good effort, my classmates and I can look forward to a brighter future. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Ladies?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you just want to push and pull, just turn the microphone. You got it. Thank you.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Colleen Anthony. I'm a sophomore at Benson Polytechnic High School in Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee. Last year, as a freshman, I took a math class called Tech Geometry, which was developed by Amy Slaughter, a math teacher, and Timothy Harishu, who's been the electric teacher at Benson for a very long time.
very long time.
Instead of coming in every other day, like we do for history and English and most of the math classes, we came in every single day. On the first day, we would do math. It was just as like the other math classes. We learned as much as the other math classes. But then on the next day, we would work in construction. The first few weeks, we learned some basic tools. We did riveting. We built model houses out of popsicle sticks. We learned what we were going to do. And then as the year went on, we made contact with a bilingual preschool in the neighborhood and Dignity Village, which is a city-sanctioned homeless camp located near the airport. And what we did is by the end of the year, we had made both a playhouse for the kids at the daycare preschool and a 10-foot by 12-foot home for someone at Dignity Village. The big thing was that we were learning, because in math class, lots of kids, you'll hear at lunch and during study hall and whatever, they don't care. They don't know why they need to learn this stuff. They'll be like, oh, I'm going to do this with my life. Why do I need to know this? We were in there and we saw exactly how it was used. our teachers would ask us questions. We would want to know, all right, how do I find out, how should I put these rafters together? What did we learn yesterday? You can find that angle by multiplying these. At the beginning of class, more than half of us were performing below grade level. After only 6 weeks, students showed remarkable progress, with 87% improvement in the students' confidence in their abilities with math. 82% of students reported actively enjoying math.
Enjoying math?
The house we built couldn't be wired into the electrical system or the plumbing because of rules, but we did most of the stuff that you see on a regular house. We roofed it, added tiles, we put solar panels on the top so that there was lighting and an outlet. Benson High School, Portland Public Schools, and the state of Oregon should be very proud of this class. There are several important lessons here. It's a sad statement on the condition of public education, but schools are not businesses and should not be run as businesses. Whoever says something different is selling something. There are many aspects of business that can inform good practice, and at Benson that is certainly true in the areas of innovation, management, and marketing. This was obviously not a class that could be pulled out of a box or brought for any. This only worked because Ms. Slaughter and Mr. Hirishu got to know us. They got to know what we needed. We went out into the community. They met with the people who we were probably going to get jobs from if we didn't want to go to college. And a lot of people don't realize that college is not the only option. Right out of high school, you can get a good paying job if you have skills. There are things, learning how to be an electrician, you'll get paid while you learn. They'll take care of books and everything. But wherever we go in life, we're going to need math. And if we don't care about math, then we're just not going to do well. Benson clearly identified what the market wants and stepped up to meet the need. The entire community is obviously benefiting and responding enthusiastically. I ask for your support for greater funding for K-12 education, and I ask you to remember that it is classes like Tech Geometry where real learning happens and is measured. Principals need to know that they and their schools will not be criticized or penalized in terms of budget and staffing for programs like this. Tech Geometry is continuing this year with a different set of teachers at Benson, and Mr. Hirishu, Ms. Slaughter went to another school, but Mr. Hirishu has started up a tech algebra class instead of construction, which again is still going on. The tech algebra class, which I TA for every other day, one day they'll learn algebra, and then the next day they're running a business. People in the community, they have a student store, they print t-shirts, water bottles, all this stuff. So covering sophomore and freshman, we have classes where their math is not boring.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Rachel Fetters, and I go to San Barlow High School, and I'm a sophomore. Thank you for hearing from us today. It's a really cool experience to have. I have classes, all of us at San Barlow, we have classes between 45 and 50 people in each one, which can be difficult for students to learn and also for teachers to be able to teach because we're chatty. And it's also hard because students, it's hard to have a one-on-one connection with the people that are trying to teach us. Which, from elementary school, when we used to be able to have that one-on-one connection, we could just learn so much easier and better. But now, it's harder because as soon as we get into class, we need to start learning and we need to just focus in, and we really miss out on learning who our teachers are and be able to have a friend kind of connection with them and be able to talk to them as well as being able to learn from them. So I think that if we could decrease class sizes just even by a little bit, it would help the learning experience because kids would be less distracted in the classroom environment, and it would help the teachers be able to teach without having to get on the students.
I also think that if we could have elective classes that were based on professions that students wanted to take in the future, that that could help a lot, because then a student can test the field out before just going straight into it, so they can know if they want to do it or if it's something they might not like in the future. Like, because I took journalism my freshman year, and by the end of my freshman year, I didn't like journalism. So that was, like, if we could have more classes like that where kids can, like, learn, like, firsthand what they would be doing so they don't have to just jump in in college.
Okay, great. Thank you. Do you have any questions for these folks? And I agree with you with math, because I was one of these. I kept saying in high school, I'll never use algebra. Well, I found out I did. And so I used to tell my students, I said, if I ever find my math teacher, I'm going to apologize to him. And you know something? I did. And I called him up, and I apologized to him. And he said, I told you so, didn't I? I told you so. Okay, thank you very much. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Chair Daugherty. Darian, I want you to come back next year, too, just so that you know, because what you've been able to show us is what is taking place and what your desires are. I want to thank the two of you, the other two folks there, and all the other students who come up. You're giving us a glimpse into the classroom that we don't get any longer. All of us who are teachers, we enjoy the classroom, but we're not there now. We're not seeing some of the things that you're struggling with, and so I'm glad to see that. Benson High School is not in my district. It's just outside my district by it's something on the order of about 50 yards, actually. But I have a lot of students in my district who go to Benson. And it is good to see the regrowth of the school, but it speaks to something that Representative Reardon is very heavily involved with in the CTE program, and how we connect what's going on in the classroom with what's going on in the real world. So appreciate the work that you're doing, and thank you for bringing that to us to let us know about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Representative Peluso.
I'd just like to say this has been one of the best days at this committee. So I appreciate everybody being here, and a big shout out to the parents and the families that got these young people to us here this afternoon for this experience. It is very important that we hear from the consumers of the product. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much.
That sounded a lot like business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you all. And the last two, at least, we have signed up. Rachel Fetters, Michaela, I understand, wants to. Oh, no, no. Riley Jane Hack. Michaela, and did we just hear from Rachel?
We did.
Yes. Okay. And anybody else that was out there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said Riley Jane Hack. And. Who else is on that list? I thought I had. Who's going to have to? Oh, and Rachel. No. And who? Oh, yes. Oh, she didn't want to do it. So. Anyway, thank you, ladies. I think that's it.
Okay.
Or do we have.
I'll go.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Riley Hack. I go to Sprague High School. I'm a senior. And apologize for my attire. I just came from a workout, so kind of rushed over here. I just kind of want to touch on a couple things. To start off, specifically teacher relationships, I feel like that isn't focused on enough in schools. Looking back over my high school and my middle school experiences, the teachers and the classes I've learned and enjoyed the most are the teachers that really focus on learning about us as people, not just a student, and who we get to know and who touch us as people. And I just think that should be more focused on, and not just going into class and you're here to learn this and then you leave. I think relationships are really important. One, for if you do have something going on in your life and you need help during school, that's really important. I know I've had situations like that, and I'm a really, really busy student. I play volleyball, and I'm also involved in a lot of out-of-school activities. So being able to go to my teachers personally and say, hey, I have this going on this weekend, I have a family thing tonight, I won't be able to do the homework. You know, having that relationship and having that time set aside really is helpful. And being able to go and get extra help afterwards because you feel comfortable in having that relationship also really helps learn and enjoy in that class. And I feel like the teachers that do that, they don't necessarily feel like they have to teach to a test. They're the more of the teachers that just enjoy to be there. And seeing that they enjoy to be there and that they want to be there makes us want to be there even more. And they have that thing about them that makes us want to learn and want to be interested in what they're teaching. And not necessarily wanting to go into that field that they're teaching, but just wanting to listen and hear what they have to say and learn. And I feel like having that strong relationship with that teacher really helps with that and helps the kids love to learn and want to be there. The other thing that I really want to touch on is the teaching to a test. And I feel like we've kind of gotten really focused on that lately in our schools, and I've noticed it change throughout my experience. And the teachers that don't focus more on just teaching to a test and that focus on, well, how do you learn best, or how is this going to help you in real life, that really helps you learn in the way that you feel most comfortable. Or the teachers that necessarily don't even believe in taking tests. I've had teachers that don't even believe in testing, and I think those classes were the most enjoyable classes, not just because you have to take tests, but just learning-wise. Like, you can just tell that the teacher wants to be there, and it's more learning to enjoy what's being taught instead of learning to be able to memorize it for a test, which I feel like is very important. And it's not you're cramming the night before the test and then you forget it the next week. It's you remember it the whole entire year. And you go back and think, wow, I remember this or I remember that, when you go on to that next level the next year. And you kind of have that relationship with that teacher as well, where you can go back and say, hey, remember this unit? Can we talk about this before I go and take a test about this in the next class? So having that just really helps emphasize what you're learning, and it's not more just memorizing. And the other thing that I'd like to touch on, as a senior, I feel like it's really important to have those life experience classes at a school. And being able to learn to balance a checkbook, housing, even just having to go off in the real world, get a job, do taxes, anything like that. I feel like that is really important to have in a school system, because, you know, senior year, you hear all the time, oh, you're going to be thrown out in the real world. Oh, you're going to be thrown into college. And it's like, well, are we really that prepared? And if you say you have to, you turn 18, you go out into the real world, you don't know how to balance a checkbook, you don't know how to build credit. And yeah, there are some classes that are looked for those. Like, we have a personal finance class for a math class, but it's looked at as the lower math class. It's not looked at as a math class where you can just take it because you want to be able to learn. Mm-hmm. It's looked at as, oh, you're not that smart in the math division, so you're going to be put in this class. When, why should it be looked at that way? That's learning life lessons. That's being ready to go out and live your life as an adult. So I feel like having those available to you just would help that much more once you actually do be put out in the real world. So thank you for
very
listening.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair and members of the committee, first off, thank you for your time. Second, my name is Michaela Vasquez. I'm a junior at South Albany High School. I apologize if I speak fast. I'm very nervous.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to be nervous with us. Right.
Oh, no. I'm very, very nervous. So I only have a few things I want to touch on, but the first thing is, like, we have teachers getting evaluated, but they know, like, the dates, like, when the evaluator's going to come in. So they have, like, this extravagant plan that we never really do unless there's someone evaluating them. So I feel like something that would be, like, a really good idea just, like, to think on is, like, random evaluations for teachers. That way they're more, like, just in their real environment and how they really are, like, on a day-to-day basis, rather than just, like, planning this whole extravagant, like, lesson plan for an evaluator so they look really good. Because the teachers aren't bad themselves, but on normal days when evaluators aren't there, they kind of, like, go off on tangents, and which is natural, obviously, but they go off on tangents and kind of, like, play little games and take, like, time to tell little stories, which is fine. But when, like, there's tests that they have to, like, nail down, they're like, oh, you have to know this and that. But when they're not teaching us every day, like, that kind of stuff, and when they're going off on their own personal stories and stuff, it's kind of just, it's hard to, like, retain that information when we don't touch on it that as much as, like, we probably should. Second, for me, this is kind of, like, a more personal belief, because I have really bad anxiety, and so I'll have anxiety attacks at school just from, like, stress from school and, like, personal issues and stuff like that. So I feel like it's kind of important to, like, educate teachers on how to deal with that, because I've had an anxiety attack in class where my teacher's just like, oh, what's happening? And then he ran and got the health teacher, which
that's fine. Thank you for that. But if you would have known, I think that would have been a lot better for me, because when you're having an anxiety attack, you don't really know what to do about it. And I know I'm not the only kid at my school who suffers from that. And so I feel like that's very important for teachers to, like, know how to react to that and how to respond to kids in that situation. And then one good thing that my school has is we have a lot of opportunities for, well, for me personally, there's a lot of opportunities to, like, go and work with, like, kids and stuff. And so I feel like that's cool to have, like, classes that you can, like, really look at your future and, like, what you want to do. So I want to be a child psychologist or a social worker. So I have the opportunities to go work with kids. And I think that's really cool. And, like, having more opportunities for kids to have classes that, like, pertain to their career that they want. Like, we have trades and, like, mechanics and stuff. Like, I think that's a really, like, important classes to have at schools. So if we could, like, get funding for that in other schools, which I know it's hard, but I think that's a really important thing to have.
And that's all I have to say.
Okay, very good. You did a very good job.
Yep.
Okay, any questions of this panel?
Oh, hi, Sherry.
That's why I love her.
Picture's done.
That's why I love her.
I got to have one of those.
Yes, Representative Hack.
Oh, I was just commenting on the picture, but I too wanted to say thank you to everybody for coming and all the parents and all the kids for being so brave to come in here today and do this. So
yes,
it's important that we do hear from you. So you all did a wonderful job. Thank you very, very much.
And the Education Committee ordered the rain, so your first day of spring break would be rainy, so you would come here and not miss the sun. But anyway, that's very good. Any other questions and comments? Any other student that I'd like to speak? Or forever hold their peace. Okay, thank you, ladies, very much. What we're going to do is we have three bills that we're going to be working on, but what I would love to do is have a picture with all the kids in front of the dais, and then what we can do is if you give us contact information, we can get the picture to you. And so what we're going to do is take a recess for about 10 minutes, and I thought with all of us, we can just stay here, and then some teachers out there, could you organize the kids in front of the dais? I would like to call the meeting back to order. Okay, thank you. We do have some business to deal with, so I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2715. And Richard, if you could remind us what that is.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2715 prohibits the school district employee or volunteer from posting or publishing or making publicly available personally identifiable information in relation to results of performance-based assessments. It declares an emergency effective July 1, 2015. The committee has been asked to consider the -1 amendments, which allow an exception for the posting of student identifiable data if the consent of the student or the parent or the guardian of the student is obtained.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -1 amendments to HB 2715, dated March 2nd, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves the adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 2715, dated March 2nd, 2015. Is there any discussion? Okay, is there any objection? Okay, not the amendments are adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move HB 2715 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Rep. Frederick moves House Bill 2715 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative
Barreto?
Aye. Representative
Pack? Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, the motion is adopted. The motion passes. We need to assign a carrier. Is there somebody who hasn't done this yet that would like to? Since it's Frederick's bill, would you like to do that?
Sure.
Okay, Representative Frederick will carry that bill. So I close the work session on House Bill 2715. Okay. Do I have to open this? Okay, we are also going to carry over House Bill 2713. We are waiting for paperwork on that. Those of you that have not been down here, we have lots of paperwork that we have to wait for. Okay. So we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 2939. Richard, if you could explain what it is, please.
Happily. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2939 prescribes salary calculation for substitute teachers in a school district that has a class schedule based on a four-day week. It declares an emergency effective July 1, 2015. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 1 amendments, which change the salary multiplier to the appropriate 1.125 rather than the 1.25 in the bill. And about an hour ago, a fiscal statement was issued. It is an indeterminate fiscal.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to HB 2939, dated March 3rd, 2015.
Okay, Rep. Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2939, dated March 3rd, 2015. Is there any discussion? Remember, this was the one initially, the multiplier factor was going to be 1.25, I believe, and now it's 1.15, just to make sure that it's on there.
Do we have an explanation on that?
Math. Do we have an explanation on that?
None of us passed math.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, the proponents of the bill, original calculation was based upon an 8-hour to 10-hour ratio from 5 to 4 days a week, but they forgot to factor in the lunch hour, so they changed the calculation to calculate it based upon a 7 to 9-hour ratio.
Okay. Thank you.
That's helpful.
I like math.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there any other further discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 2939 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Rep. Frederick moves House Bill 2939 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Tia, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Hack.
Yes.
Representative Plain.
Aye.
Representative
Paluso. Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Do you have a
care?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
No. Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Yes.
Vice Chair
Breyer? Aye. Chair Gordy? Aye. Okay, the motion passes. Representative Springer, would you like to carry this bill?
Sure.
Okay, Representative Springer will carry the bill.
So what else do we have?
Okay, that is it for the day because the other bills are being carried over with paperwork. So with that, I close the work session on House Bill 2939. Okay, anything else for the good of the order? I would like to say, and I agree with Representative Hack, it's been a wonderful day. It's one of those things to kind of hear from the practitioners and the kids that have to, that are in schools every day, and we'll kind of have a summary because I was writing down a lot of the things that the kids had to say, and I think they're reflective of maybe what some of the adults had to do, but in much more depth and passion.
I just feel much better about those who will be picking out my
yes.
Me too.
For those of us that will be in nursing homes soon enough, thank you very much to the education system of these kids. Okay, anything else? Okay, with that, I adjourn the House Committee. Anything else? Okay, with that, I adjourn the House Committee.